You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built. Coach, welcome back to the program. And you've been through this before. Quarterbacks get injured. It happens. And so there's probably a mixture of nervousness and excitement as a young player is going to come in and get his first start. How much does the game plan change when you use when you lose a veteran starting quarterback?
Yeah, Jason, thanks for having me on. You know, I think it's less about the playbook. It tweaks a little bit. Obviously, when a guy doesn't get all the work in practice on a normal week, you got to condense it a little bit. But you know, credit to the Winnipeg defense; they're good. They're a good front. They're active. So a lot of the things that we're going to do are to try to neutralize those front seven. You know, they do a great job of pressuring the quarterback. So, you know, I'm excited to see Taylor. The package will be tight, but it's gonna come down to success on first down. That's gonna be what's important.
What about as far as getting to know what he does really well, like in his comfort areas? Does that enter it, or does that take a little bit more time than, you know, this short window you have of this adjustment?
Well, one of the advantages is that, you know, Taylor and I have worked together, so he was our quarterback in Tampa Bay, so I know what he's comfortable with, and you know what he likes and know what he throws well. And I'm excited to see him. He's got a big arm. He's accurate. He moves pretty well in the pocket and really poised. So, you know, lack of familiarity should not be a problem because again we've worked together. But just the nature of starting your first CFL game. You know, but I fully expect him to go out there and do well for us. And, you know, he hasn't missed a beat. He had a great training camp, picks things up really well. So I am excited to see him and, you know, excited for him as well.
Jamie Elizondo joins us, head coach, offensive coordinator for the Elks. Jim, when you go back and look at the tape from last week, what had you frustrated the most after watching the tape and what you felt like your offense didn't do?
At times offensively, you know, we try to be too perfect instead of taking what the defense gives us. And the frustrating part was that we were in second and long so much of the night, and some of those wounds were self-inflicted. And it's hard to overcome second and 15 consistently in this league. And that's what frustrated me the most. The other thing, our defense played great and really proud of them for their effort. And they kept giving us chances, and we just could not get in rhythm. It was one step forward and then two steps back, you know, a penalty, you know, a negative run, and so a sack. So those were the frustrating things. But we are excited to get back out on the field. We feel like we've got a lot to prove. We feel like we're a pretty good football club when we play it. The key is going to be consistency, sustaining drives, and just getting in rhythm. And I told the guys this week, you know, just go out and let it hang. Go out and play. Have some fun. You know, don't play with – you know, fear or concern. Just go out there and play the game the way it should be played.
How much does it feel, you know, that you had, the COVID shutdown or whatever it was, the break, and then you had these two quick games? Does it feel like the group is kind of just coming out and feeling stronger about themselves and more, you know, prepared to play than maybe they felt with the weird last two weeks, 10 days?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I think, you know, the first week when we went, you know, down to Calgary, we had 3 days of practice, and you know, given the fact that we had been off for 10 days, we practiced pretty hard on day three. So a lot of guys were just getting their legs back. And last week we had 1 day of practice after a physical game, and that had to be a heavy day. So, you know, we're hoping that we're amping up in terms of getting our recovery, our legs back, so that we're full go on Saturday night.
Jamie, when you look at the stats, you've got the league's leading rusher. The Bombers' defense has allowed the most rushing yards, so it would seem like, oh, that could be a good thing for your quad. Is it too easy to say if you can have success running, it's going to make it much easier for your rookie quarterback in Taylor Cornelius to feel comfortable, just because, you know, as you said earlier, won't be in second and long very often, but you'll also keep the defense maybe having to not be as aggressive as they might want to be?
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's going to be we've got to be able to run the ball effectively against these guys. And it takes pressure off any quarterback, right? And more so a guy that's starting for the first time up in the CFL. But we feel like we can, and I think our guys up front feel like we can come off the ball, you know, and get that run game going. It changes things, and the more first downs you get, the deeper you can go into your playbook, the more play actions you can get into. The defense starts coming up, you get opportunities over the top. You know, when you're in second and long, it becomes a one-dimensional game. It's tough to go that way. So there's no doubt that one of the keys of the game is our ability to run the ball.
Edmonton Elks head coach Jamie Elizondo joined us here on TSN 1260 on the Jason Greger Show. What kind of expectations do you have for the debuts of Sir Vincent Rogers and Moncrief coming in?
Yeah, man, getting those guys, getting SV back, you know, I call him Young Cub, so he's kind of like the Papa Bear of the group, and his presence, his demeanor, his attitude, his toughness, it'll be great to have him back on the sideline. His composure and his experience, obviously playing these guys. He's played these guys multiple times and has a grasp of them. So it'll be uplifting on the offensive side of the ball to have him. And then, you know, Moncrief's been great in practice all week. He's picked up the playbook really quickly, and that's, you know, credit to him and credit to the defensive coaches. And so it's exciting to see him. I think I mentioned this one time earlier in the week. He was in practice unblocked in the hole on one of our runs, and I just happened to be right behind it, and I said, that's what they're supposed to look like. So excited to see him, his length, his speed, his toughness, and excited to have him with us.
Jamie, going back to your offense, you mentioned that if the run game can set up the passing game. When you were in Calgary, you know, you guys passed for almost 400 yards, four touchdowns, and you had a lot of big plays. You went for it. So did Calgary change their defense? Was it because you were in second and 15 all the time? You've got some weapons. How do you ensure that tomorrow night you're able to push that ball downfield a little bit more and take your shots? What has to happen to set that up?
Yeah, I think getting the ball into these guys' hands and letting them do their work. You know, I think with a young quarterback and then really any quarterback, it doesn't have to be on them. You know, just dispersing the ball and letting Greg and Darrell do their work and Shy and Ernie and, you know, and Jalen, just letting them, you know, go one-on-one with a corner or a DB and getting positive yards, even on some quick stuff, is the key. So, you know, just you can look at the run game as being important, but so will the quick passing game, the screens, all those types of things, and just getting the ball in their hands.
You know, Edwards, you know, had a strong game. Do you feel that he's a guy that's just going to keep building, even though he's got a new quarterback now to kind of catch passes from?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. He's probably gotten the most work with Taylor and as well as Jalen, because they were always running with the second group in training camp. And so I think there's some familiarity there with Taylor and Ernie, but also with Jalen. Jalen played in the XFL with Taylor and myself, and so I think there's a comfort level there too with both of those guys. And I think Ernie's going to – and both those guys, I think, are trending upwards. They're different skill sets. Ernie's dynamic. He can take a five-yard throw and make it into a 35-yard gain. And Jalen's big, strong, can do things around the box, but also great hands and great body control in the air. So I think those guys are trending upward, and they'll obviously be part of the attack and expect good games from those guys.
Jamie, we had Troy Westwood on earlier, and I asked him about Winnipeg's success, and he waxed glowingly about Mike O'Shea and just how he really changed the culture there. And it wasn't instant, right? They didn't have instant success, but they seemed to have like a winning culture. How important is that? And as a head coach, you've been in football a long time, how long does it take to change a culture within a dressing room?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's one of those things that, you know, culture isn't something that you just get done and tack it and there it is. Culture is something that you really talk about every day, and you evaluate your culture every day. And I think the time frame can be different at different places. Some places it can happen, you know, a little faster. Some places it takes a little longer, but there's no doubt, you know, when I took this job, I said that culture is the most important thing. And so we've got a bunch of guys that are the right guys in the locker room. They've bought in. They're doing all the right things. You know, I think it's a matter of time before we start to see the results. But, you know, to really, really, truly set your culture, again, it's not something that is a finite product. It's constantly evolving, constantly changing. And we're trending in the right direction. I'm excited for these group of guys. I know they're hungry to play this game. They're hungry to get back out on the field. And, you know, they'll go out and give us our best, and hopefully we'll come away with a win tomorrow.
Jamie, you know, just further to the culture, I wonder how you handled the situation. I'm not sure if you saw it last night, but, you know, the Giants were playing, and one of their linemen, you know, unfortunately went offside on a field goal that was missed, and they got a second chance, and they make it. How do you deal, or is it, like, who would discuss or talk to this young guy who made this mistake? And not one player loses a game, but, you know, it definitely stands out when it comes to the fans and the media.
Yeah, there are mistakes that are more costly in games, and I think we learned that in our first game here at home. You know, some mistakes, if you jump off sides on the first play of the game, it's not as egregious as jumping off sides when a field goal to end the game is missed, right? So I think when those mistakes happen, they become more costly. Obviously, that young man didn't mean to jump off sides, but he's got to be a little bit more alert, stay in the moment, and that's what we teach our guys, right, is just recognize the situation, recognize the situation of football that's going to come up, and unfortunately, this game is still a game of mistakes, and what we try to do is minimize those mistakes as much as we can, because before you can learn how to win consistently, you got to learn not to lose. The mistakes that we made in the Ottawa game, which we thought was a game that we should have won, and there's, you know, ended up hurting us, you know, a pick six for a number of different reasons on that play. But those are costly mistakes that bite you. You know, not converting on short yardage in the red zone. Those are the mistakes that come back and haunt you. So I think we're always trying to address those and teach those guys what they need to be in terms of understanding the situation and the things that they need to focus on in that moment. And then you make a mistake, you got to go on in the game. Unfortunately, last night, there was no other play, so that's a tough one to swallow.
Lastly, Coach, and I don't know, maybe it's a broad question or not, but how would you describe, what's the offensive philosophy with this group?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think one of the things that we've always prided ourselves on is the ability to move guys around. And so in the first five games that you've seen Darrell Walker line up as number one into the boundary, number two into the boundary, number three to the field, number two to the field, number one to the field. And we do that with all our guys, and that's by design, so that defenders are always trying to, or defenses are always trying to get a beat on where they're at. I think when we're operating our best, we're operating with some tempo, you know, wearing defenses down, and you have to constantly be aware as a defense or a defensive coordinator where certain guys are lined up, what route structures they're running, and that's always harder when you have some multiplicity both in your motions and in your alignments with players. So, you know, I'd like us to be more physical. It all starts up front. It starts in the run game, starts setting the tone. But I think our identity is an up-tempo team, playing fast, controlling the tempo, and at the same time, you know, moving guys around and giving a bunch of different looks to the defense, both formationally as well as personnel-wise.
Jamie, good luck tomorrow. We appreciate your time.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.